Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Your children, before they've ever done a stinking thing for you, you're head over heels in love with them. What's that about? Spend some time thinking about that. Spend some time thinking that that might reflect how God feels about you. Look at the joy and the delight that you have when your child does something as silly as take a step or grin. And that's enough for you to run on for hours. You just love it. What if that's a picture of God's delight in you?
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. If you dream of completing your college degree, APU offers several on-campus and online accelerated degree completion programs that can be completed in as little as 12 months, some requiring class only one night a week. If you want to learn more about it, go to homeward.com, go to apu.edu, send me an email. I'm in the Bachelor of Science in Organizational Leadership program, Roger, R-O-G-E-R, at homeward.com. Be happy to tell you about my experience. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of fun. Today on the program, Nancy Ortberg is Dr. Jim Burns' guest, and we're going to be talking about a topic that's important to most people, but especially to women and to moms, finding God in the most unexpected places. Here's part one now on Homeward. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A great conversation today with Nancy Ortberg. We're going to talk about finding God in the most unexpected places. This is going to be a great day. God will not be found in a box or a compartment. Instead, he can be found in the most unexpected places, and that's what we're going to talk about. Gifted author, communicator, who is passionate about helping people find God in their lives. She served as one of the teaching pastors for Willow Creek Community Church for years. Also now lives in the San Francisco Bay Area with her husband, John Ortberg. They have three children. Becoming one of my favorite people. Great to have you with us.
Thanks.
Well,
thank you, Jim.
And I appreciate so much. You've written a new book. It's called Looking for God, An Unexpected Journey Through Tattoos, Tofu, and Pronouns. And that caught my attention. I want to tell you
good,
that.
Good, good.
Now, you're passionate about helping people connect what they believe in their everyday lives. I mean, how do you do that?
I think growing up, there was somewhere along the line, there was a disconnect for me. And I'm not sure I completely understand it, but there was this relationship with God thing, and then there was the rest of my life. And it took me years to figure out that they should be connected and that they were connected, and then what the implications were for my life when that happened.
Now, I mean, you were in the church when this was going on. You actually, you know, went to a Christian school and did graduate work at a Christian school. So you were saying you were struggling with this connection, even with, you know, your academic interest and things like that.
Yeah, to a degree. I think I had gotten spirituality presented to me in such a narrow way.
Mm-hmm. This box or compartment that you talk about.
Yeah, and when it didn't always work, I was confused, and I immediately thought, I'm not doing it right, something's wrong with me. And over the course of years, you know, God works hard to get you out of that box and get himself out of that box, and I began to find that those were not the only, not even sometimes the primary ways of connecting to God.
Right.
And when I started letting a lot of things count as ways to connect me to God, it opened up, I believe, the God of Scriptures to me in pretty profound ways.
Yeah, that's neat. Now, I'm one of these guys who does the quiet time. I mean, I go through the one-year Bible, and, you know, my wife just looks at me and goes, yeah, you're putting your hand to your head right now. My wife goes, Jim, why do you do that every year? I mean, give me a break. You know, let's try something else or whatever. But for me, that sort of works. Now, for you, you're saying, you know, God isn't found in a box, and sometimes even a quiet time, the daily quiet time, do acts, adoration, confession, Thanksgiving,
supplication. Yes.
I'm actually the guy who does that.
You're probably the guy that wrote it, Jim.
But in that, you know, what you're saying is, no, you don't have to do it that way.
No, you don't. And I think it's well intended that when somebody has an experience with God that's pretty profound as a result, then they want everybody to do it the same way.
Right.
Instead of to say, there are lots of different ways to connect to God.
Right.
I'm not against having a quiet time, and I'm not against journaling, but for me, and I think for lots of other people, when you do the same thing every day in the same way, for some kinds of people, it actually makes God smaller, and it actually disconnects your life from God.
No, you know, that makes sense. I was saying to my support group, I'm in a group every Tuesday with four other men who I love, these men, and I said, you know, I'm looking good on paper right now because, you know, I'm on the day of my, you know, daily devotional or whatever, and Kathy and I have a date night and all that. But I said, you know, I am struggling, and it was interesting because one of the guys said, you know, you need to do an adventure.
yeah. whatever the adventure
yeah.
is. And I know you and I had had a conversation off the air one time where you said sometimes you can connect with God when you connect with nature and the joy and the beauty of nature. And I'm not saying that God is nature, but I'm saying God is in nature.
It's an expression of,
right.
of the Creator.
Right.
And sometimes I would find that I would do a quiet time, and then a week later I would be hiking somewhere, and what I felt and thought during that hike was at a completely different level of connection with God
right.
than the more arbitrary,
right.
let's just follow, it's June 5th, so this is what I'm supposed
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm saying, what if it all counted? What if it was all part of weaving together a great relationship with God? Because the quiet time thing, and I'm not really clear on who really started this thing,
right.
it has to be in the morning. I'm not sure God wants to talk to me in the morning. I'm really thinking he's okay with waiting until later on in the day. Has to be 30 minutes, 45 is better. You have to have had it.
Right.
And you follow the little acronym, and then sometime during the day, you need to let people know you've had it, but in a really humble way, and then you have to
right.
talk about what a profound experience
right.
you had. But I also found that people were talking about it in a very superstitious way. You know, my
right.
day's been really bad. Oh, my gosh, I just realized I didn't have my quiet time. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's just bad
yeah.
theology.
Well, it's also confining. You use the word confining, mm-hmm. and it's confining God. It's confining our life. You know, again, I don't see you saying it's bad to
not
have a quiet time.
Not at all.
But sometimes we can get so confined. If it's working, great. If it's not working, what you're saying is open up
there
the horizon
other
in other ways. Exactly. Great.
If you
great.
Do the same thing every day. I remember where I was in Chicago, a thought popped into my head, and I pulled my car over to the side of the road, and I sat there, and I thought, I don't know right now if I'm angry or happy. I don't know whether to laugh or cry. Jesus never journaled.
Yeah.
He never journaled. And I'm thinking, I've been in the church my whole life, and all I've ever heard was, if you don't journal, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
And my husband is a pretty adamant journaler, and
right.
he journals frequently, and I'm afraid after I die, somebody's going to open my journals and find huge gaps in them. So John said, well, just write in there, see missing journal for other entries. And I'm kind of thinking, if I have to lie about my spiritual practices, it's probably not a good spiritual
practice.
But
you know what? People do that.
Yeah.
We do that. It's,
you feel
just,
pressure.
You described it. Right. You know, you don't want to say, look, it's been a really hard week.
Right.
And part of that hard week was that I've been too busy to spend much time with the
right,
Lord.
Right.
And just leave it at that. I find when people...
Or what does it mean to spend time with the Lord?
Right, right.
Is it just when I'm sitting in a chair with my open Bible? I don't
right,
think so.
Right. No, that's great. Actually, you write about in your book that you tell about a time when you found God in a movie theater. I mean, I want you to tell about how you found him while you were watching Les Mis.
Actually, a theater, not
yeah.
a movie,
oh,
a
yeah,
stage
right.
production.
Of course. Yeah.
And it wasn't long after this whole process started for me. John and I were sitting there, and about two-thirds of the way, the character Jean Valjean sings to his daughter Cosette that to love another person is to see the face of God. And I just felt frozen, and tears started running down my face. I'm not a big crier. I cry twice a year. I feel like I need to. So John knows when there's tears on my face, something's up. And so he's like, are you okay? I said, that sentence rocks my core, and I get it, and I connect deeply with God.
Wow.
In relationships with other people. I don't understand why God didn't put that in the Bible. And John said, why are you getting mad at God? I'm like, well, that's just what I do. I just fight and wrestle with him until I understand him, and then I can move forward. And a couple of weeks later, John got into bed, and this is not a typical scenario in our house, but he said, I want to read you something. And he opens up to Genesis 33, where Jacob and Esau are reunited, and he reads the passage where it says, Jacob said to his brother Esau, for to see your face is like seeing the face of God. And I told my husband I was so glad that God had taken me up on my suggestion to get it in the Bible. I thought that was fabulous. But, you know, there it was. And
right.
there's a voice on my shoulder in that moment in the theater that says, this doesn't count. You call that a prayer? You call that a quiet time? This doesn't count. And part of my journey is to brush that voice aside and to turn the volume down and say, you know what, it does.
Yeah. You know, we need to shout that message
yeah.
to the Christian world, because a lot of us feel guilty
sure.
About, you know, sensing that God may be in the middle of a secular theater, you know,
right.
experience, when in fact he is present
everywhere.
Everywhere. And fascinating enough, I know you're big on this. You're big on the power of gratitude. And I was thinking about a scripture that says, you know, the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. And gratitude in some ways is partly praise, thanksgiving and praise.
There's a verse in, it's either Romans or Hebrews, and I should know that, but it's give gratitude to God, and by so doing you worship him. It is a form of worship.
You say that it actually makes our lives richer and fuller and freer, and really is a direct link to God.
It's a thread right back to God. It begs the question, to whom am I grateful? I'm grateful to God for his goodness, for his beauty, for all the things he puts in my life. that are breathtakingly good.
Yeah. Now, you know, last week I was in Ecuador and I was with people. My daughter Becca and I were together and we were with people who make, you know, $40 a month and they are so pitifully poor. And yet they, interestingly enough, were very content. And it put us in disequilibrium because if you're supposed to be in content if you have a nice home that overlooks the ocean and you drive a fancy car and all that kind of stuff.
More and more.
Yeah, and I know that to a core, right. And yet we're still
amazed.
You know
it on paper.
These were grateful people. And I think a lot of times we equate gratefulness with kind of the problem of suffering. You know, how can I be thankful when there is so much suffering all around me? But what you're saying is even in the midst of suffering, find reasons to be grateful.
It is a power along the lines of seismic force in our lives. And it's not that you're grateful for the suffering necessarily. It's that there are things that are still all around you for which to be deeply grateful for. One of the conversations John and I have had with our kids since they were little is how much is enough? And if the ceiling of enough in your life can be low enough, interestingly enough, your joy and your gratitude go through the roof because all it takes to make me happy is just this little bit. And then it also frees you up to generously give to other people.
Yeah, I really do think it is at the very core of who we are, and we've got to resonate with that message. Roger, let's talk about the book, Looking for God, An Unexpected Journey Through Tattoos, Tofu, and Pronouns. A great book. Nancy Ortberg with us today. I am anxious to take the break, but I'm even more anxious to get back. We've got some great things to talk about. I want to focus more on this gratitude. I want you, when we come back, Nancy, to talk about what you learned as a nurse from a 14-year-old girl who had survived a dirt bike accident of all things. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
And today here on the Homeward broadcast, Roger Marsh back at the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family. You can tell Jim was on location recording with Nancy Ortberg today, Finding God in the Most Unexpected Places. If you want to learn more about Nancy's ministry, and it is outstanding, John Ortberg, Nancy Ortberg, quite the power couple when it comes to ministry. Go to homeward.com, hit the radio button, the radio broadcast button, and the whole broadcast schedule will come up, and then you can find the listing for today's program on terrestrial radio. This is airing on Monday, February 25th, and just go ahead and look Nancy's name, hit the tab, takes you right to our website. You can learn more about her speaking, about her writing, and all things Nancy Ortberg. Homeward is here to provide you with these materials because of your prayers and faithful financial support. We cannot do this without you. We are so grateful that you are a part of the Homeward Ministry team, and if you can give a gift to support the ministry right now, we'd love to hear from you. You can give that gift online at homeward.com, or you can write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
This is so lame, Mom.
But Heather, I think it's a great idea.
8 hours of community service or they won't let me graduate?
It's really not asking all that much.
Can they legally do that?
Mm-hmm. And I've got a list of projects you can get started on right here. And a lot of them are from the church.
Whatever.
Getting your children involved in missions and service isn't an option for their Christian growth. I think it's a necessity. As parents, we have an even greater opportunity to introduce our teenagers to the wonderful world of giving, of their time, talents, and treasure. That's why I want to encourage you to help your kids volunteer with projects they think are fun and worthwhile. As parents, we need to help our kids understand that the call to Christ is the call to serve. And that's why I invite you to go to our website at homeward.com and download a free copy of our tip sheet called Getting Your Kids Involved, Community Service Made Fun. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns talking about finding God in the most unexpected places. He is found in the church. He is found in quiet times and things like that. But you know what? He can also be found in a lot of other places, as we've been talking about. I can't tell you how happy I am to have Nancy Ortberg with us. She's a gifted author and a communicator. She's passionate about helping people find God in their lives and has the experience and the know-how and the passion to do that. She lives in the San Francisco Bay Area with her husband, John, and they have 3 children. Nancy, we've been talking about gratitude, and this is a big deal in my life. And actually, I would say, as kind of a testimony, that thankfulness and gratitude is probably one of the most important issues for me personally. And it's important when it comes to my relationship with God. It's also important in just relationships. I can remember a time when I was frustrated at something Kathy said, and then I realized, wait, I could write 20 reasons why I'm thankful for Kathy, and all of a sudden this, whatever I was frustrated with her, it means nothing, you know? And so I use this a big way. Now you have talked about it so much and where it really is important. And you have a lesson on gratitude that you learned as a nurse. You were a nurse in your previous life, if you would, from a 14-year-old girl who survived a bad dirt bike accident.
Yeah, and I was a pretty new nurse, which is probably why I remember this experience so vividly. And I got sent down that morning to work in the physical therapy department as part of my orientation for a couple of hours. And I had the chart with me, and I read it before I went downstairs. And it was a 14-year-old girl who had lost part of her leg in a motorcycle accident back in the Midwest when she was visiting friends. I wasn't looking forward to going down there because I was thinking, boy, that's got to be one of the toughest things to face. And I was not prepared for the young girl's spirit. I found out later that she was a Christ follower, but she was sitting in the whirlpool tub, so I couldn't see her injury, and I talked to her for a while. And after a few minutes, she got this bright little look on her face, and she held up the stump in the jacuzzi, and she said, "Look how much I have left, though." And it wasn't, you know, there are times when people do this mindless gratitude, this, like, we have to cheerlead God so that he feels okay about himself or something. It had none of that in there. It wasn't saccharine. It wasn't forced. It was this genuine, I still have part of my leg left. They can fit me with a prosthesis. I can move forward. And I thought about that endlessly that day. It turned over in my mind and drew me to God in really profound ways. Kind of like what you said about Kathy, it's not that it dismisses the hard things in life, but it makes me realize it could be a lot worse and there are a lot of things to be grateful for.
Right. And even in the midst, what I don't hear you saying is, no, she had to be thankful in all circumstances, and there weren't times when she was going to cry with...
Not at all.
You know, and be frustrated.
In that moment, she was grateful.
And interesting enough, in that moment, because she was, she's a better person today because of that.
Oh.
Because she could get bitter and angry and become a bitter, angry person. And we would understand that because she had a tough deal.
Well, through a pretty remarkable set of circumstances, about 3 or 4 months ago, I met her.
Yeah.
And she is a mom and happily married and has a joyful, wonderful life.
Right. Isn't that interesting? It's really a great story. You say that molds are good for Jell-O, but they're not really good for people. I'm with some people, and I want to be like them. I want to do what they do. And if they say they have an hour and a half quiet time, well, then I want to do an hour and a half quiet time. If they say that they find God mountain climbing, then I want to go find God mountain climbing. But what you're saying is, no, he's not in a mold.
Well, and I think what you're describing is different, because there's a part of me that I admire that you look at other people and you're inspired by them and you're challenged by them and you want to grow and be different because of them. But you don't want to be them. You don't want to copy somebody. You want to be inspired by them, and that's different. And particularly the mold in Christianity is there are certain behaviors, there's a certain way of being, certain choices you have to make that all line up with being a Christian. And they just don't reflect the gospel. They're not in there. And I think we need to shake free of them and refuse to get into those molds in the first place, and then not feel like we have to put people in them.
Right. No, it's a great comment, and I think a lot of us need to hear that freeing comment. I feel like our conversation today is freeing because we can find God in so many different places. You learned an important lesson years ago about community from your friend Tamara. Why don't you tell us about that?
I did. You know, Tamara and I were pregnant with our third babies at the same time, and during the pregnancy, we played tennis together. And one day after we got done playing tennis, on our way over to the babysitters to pick up our kids, we stopped at the library. And when we got out, we walked past a fountain in front of the library, and out of the corner of my eye, there was a woman standing there with her three children. And it is amazing and embarrassing how quickly I can judge somebody out of the corner of my eye. And what I saw was, well, we'll just go there. I would put it into the category of what I would call white trash. And I'm not proud to say that, but that was my thought. She was smoking. Her hair was unkempt. She had tattoos. Her teeth were rotting. None of her children had shoes on. They were filthy. She was screaming at them. And I just made a very quick judgment and then dismissed and never gave her a second thought. Now, I did that all on the inside because I've been a Christian long enough to know you sin on the inside where nobody else can see you. Tamara had no idea I had those thoughts. On our way out of the library, she was still there, and as we were walking over to the van, Tamara stopped and spoke to the woman. And I was not sure what was happening, and Tamara started the conversation out by saying something like this to her: "It's really hard with three kids, isn't it?" If I had stopped to speak to that woman, that's not how I would have started the conversation out. And I remember feeling a little bit like somebody had kicked me in the stomach, and I listened to this conversation, and Tamara asked her what she was doing there, and the woman explained that she was trying to find the bus stop. She had to get somewhere. She didn't know where she was. And Tamara said, We'll be glad to take you. I love that pronoun.
Right.
Of course we would. You know, Tamara, I was thinking the same thing. Exactly. This is great. And then when we got in the van, Tamara asked the kids, when's the last time you ate? And they started saying in unison, yesterday. And, of course, the mom was embarrassed, and she tried to shush them. And Tamara said, there's a bus stop a couple blocks from here, and there's a McDonald's on the way we're going through. And it was probably 6 weeks after that I had the courage to tell Tamara how different our responses were to that woman. And I just feel like that experience embarrassed me in a really appropriate way and caused me to see how quickly I judge people and how warmly Tamara includes people, regardless of what their outside looks like. And I think that's a lovely picture of community.
It's a lovely picture of community. It's also a lovely picture of God.
It is.
Because she was God with skin on it for you that day. And that doesn't mean that you don't do those things or that we don't, but it was a great learning lesson.
I sure didn't that day.
Exactly. It was a great learning lesson. And we're not perfect. We aren't God.
Right.
He is.
Right.
Thank God. But the truth is that's an incredible learning lesson. Now, help us understand as parents who are busily chasing our kids from one event to the next, how do we find God? Oftentimes in the mundane part of life. You know, life for a lot of us is kind of mundane a lot of times.
Yeah, and that is tough. I remember when my kids were little, everybody would tell me, enjoy it because it goes fast. And I'd think, really? What part of this goes fast? This doesn't feel fast. And one woman from our church finally said, honey, the days go slow, but the years go fast.
Mm.
And that was the first time was freed up to be okay with that. But there is so much in our children, and I feel like everybody out there that's listening knows this, but your children, before they've ever done a stinking thing for you, you're head over heels in love with them. What's that about?
Right.
Spend some time thinking about that. Spend some time thinking that might reflect how God feels about you and try to put those two things together. Look at the joy and the delight that you have when your child does something as silly as take a step or grin, and that's enough for you to run on for hours. You just love it. What if that's a picture of God's delight in you? What if when they do something that's dangerous or naughty, you have to step in and take care of that? What if that helps you understand God's discipline in your life? There's just so many everyday things. I remember when the kids were little, I got this kind of internal joy when they would eat a healthy meal and sleep. I almost felt like I had slept. I would watch them and I would just feel so good inside, like, oh, they're getting the rest they need. What if when we sleep, instead of being worried about what's not getting done or what we have to do the next day, we realize that God looks down on us, delighted that we're getting some rest? I think it just profoundly changes everything.
It's an incredible statement. Thank you for being with us. I've got to have you come back so we can keep talking.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Jim.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Nancy Ortberg here on the Homeward Broadcast, recorded on location, as you can tell by the ambiance, talking about finding God in the most unexpected places. And we are big champions of all things Nancy Ortberg. And if you want more information about her ministry, you can go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast button. The schedule comes up for February 25 and 26, which are the air dates on terrestrial radio. If you're podcasting with us, time doesn't matter to you because you just get the programs as soon as we put them up and you can listen to them that way. And speaking of online things, now Jim back in studio with us here and talking about a financial resource that we've put together for parents, about a conversation that we need to have with our kids about stewardship. And these are great resources.
Well, you're right. You know, many parents have the talk with their kids about the dangers of drug and alcohol abuse or sex and sexuality.
Yeah.
But when it comes to money, that's one area that sometimes we parents miss altogether.
Mm.
And we sort of just breeze over that, and yet it's so critical for so many families. Well, many kids only think about money when they need some.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But that's why I'm excited about this brand new group of tip sheets that we've created to help parents and kids in this particular area, stewardship. As parents, we need to be intentional about teaching our kids about stewardship, and then we need the consistency to teach them how to live these principles out, both in our lives and in their lives.
Yeah.
These new tip sheets are designed to be conversation starters that you can use with your kids about crucial topics like savings, spending, investing, and even giving.
These are great resources to have, and we're so grateful to our friends at Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment trust company based in Southern California, but doing business all over the country. And Rod Emery's been a part of our ministry team, the executive team, for many, many years, and has a real heart for ministry. And so Steadfast Companies came alongside Homeward and partnered with us not too long ago to put these tip sheets together. And all you have to do is go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media button, Then there's a search function. There's a little box that says Get Answers. And in that box, well, all you have to do is type the word steadfast, S-T-E-A-D-F-A-S-T, and hit the go button, and it'll take you right to the tip sheets. You can search if you want to, but there are several thousand tip sheets to look through. So I highly recommend that you use the search function. Go to steadfast, S-T-E-A-D-F-A-S-T, and up come those tip sheets. You can print them out. You can read them, push them around, do whatever you need to do with them, but get that information. You and your spouse get on the same page and then share that info with your kids. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.